I'm Peter Medlin, and you are listening to Teacher's Lounge. And if this is your first time hearing our show, I've got great news for you. It's based on a really simple idea that we've all had teachers in our lives who helped us become who we are today. And every educator we feature on this podcast, whether teacher, coach, or professor, is nominated by the folks who listen. We want you to be a part of the show with us. So please email us with your nominations. Tell us about the educators who've inspired you and the folks in your community who deserve a spotlight. Again, send them our way to teacherslounge@niu.edu. However, if this is your first time hearing our show, I have some maybe not as good news, which is that today is an episode where we are throwing the typical format completely out the window. This installment of Teacher's Lounge is in fact not about teachers at all. We are betraying the very title of this show. No, this is about students. Over on our Teacher's Lounge radio show, we have student correspondence, where we follow a group of students in a club, sport, or activity throughout their entire season. The highs, the lows, the friends you make along the way. And, you know, this past fall, you may remember we featured students putting on their school's first ever fall play. If you haven't heard that episode, highly recommend checking it out. But on today's show, we are showcasing not one, but two groups of student correspondence we followed in the 2024-25 school year. And we thought it would be really, really fun to have some elementary school correspondence. And luckily, we've got students who are around 8 years old from Spectrum Progressive School in Rockford. And every month of this school year, September through May, they've kept us in the loop with what's going on for them in elementary school. And it is time to share that journey. Let's follow a school year in their lives right now. How about we meet a few members of our colorful cast of characters?
Bennett,
Serafina,
Oliver.
I caught up with our group, Bennett, Serafina, and Oliver, right as they were finishing up some math classwork, using blocks to count up by tens, hundreds, and even thousands soon. But as you maybe could have guessed, math is not their favorite subject. For Bennett, it's art, where he's excited to start a few new units this year.
Hopefully painting, because we haven't started it yet.
But Serafina and Oliver love their drama class, and this past week, they gave some pretty special performances.
Yesterday, we did Karen things, like angry customers practically.
You like demanded the manager. Like, and
one of the acts that me and Lavender did was she handed me a bag full of an apple and a ton of plastic sticks, and I was mad because I didn't get the things I ordered. Then she went back. She took all the things out of the bag, gave me the bag, and I got even more mad. And then she dropped the bag and gave me nothing.
So then you put your drop and then ran away.
Okay, but wait here. Let's have Oliver show us what his performance really sounded like.
These aren't the groceries I ordered. These aren't the groceries. Why did you? There's nothing in this bag.
And then for the no bag at all, where is my groceries?
Spectrum is a very unique school experience. They have multiple ages in each room, and their class sizes are much, much smaller than they would be at their local public school. They also have a really cool playground and outdoor space they get to explore.
We love going outside.
There's an entire playground.
But like a different kind of playground that you might get again at like a typical school.
Yeah, and like there's no swings, but there is a big slide. Yeah.
And if there's water on the slide, you go like flying.
They have a lot of fun, and we'll talk with them next month to see what's going on at school for them. And since Oliver loves to perform so much, we figured we'd let him sign off.
My name is Oliver. This is WNIJ.
You did it.
It's October 2024 now, and you know what that means. It is Halloween time, and you will remember Bennett and Serafina from last month, and now Oliver is jumping out and tagging in his place. We are meeting Elena. As you probably know, Halloween is like the holiday in elementary school. The kids come in their costumes, they do a little trunk-or-treat candy exchange before they head home and the real trick-or-treating starts. And Elena hasn't quite decided on her costume yet, but she has narrowed it down.
I have two options. Cinnamon Roll, the little flying puppy, or Barbie.
So there's a puppy whose name is Cinnamon Roll?
Elena very helpfully told me that Cinnamon Roll is a cute little puppy from Hello Kitty. Her shirt even has a picture on it to show me. But Halloween isn't the only thing going on. They're also working on a really fun project for class, one that takes them out of the class and into the forest outside of their school.
Seeing how our adopted trees are.
Oh, tell us about that. What's the adopted tree?
We adopted trees and we're taking care of them. And we're gonna see how they look through every year.
Wow. So what kind of tree do you have?
It's skinny, but it's kind of big.
Yeah.
In the forest right around here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's safe to go in there.
How many trees do you guys have?
We have little pictures of our trees.
Oh, yeah. Take us over there. Tell us about the tree.
That one is mine. It looks like it.
Is this the name of the tree?
Yeah, Mirabelle.
Mirabelle, okay.
That's my little sister.
Okay, we're going to go through each tree. Tell us about Mirabelle and why that name.
Because she's my little sister.
Oh, that's cute. That's nice. What do you like about the tree?
I like that it's yellow and green and orange. Ah!
Okay, which one is your tree?
My tree is at the very top.
So yours is Rose.
Yes, it's a classic name.
That's why you.
Trees is because we're the same trees.
Oh, and I also named Rose after Serafina.
Wow.
Because my middle name is.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yours has a really fun shape to it too.
Mm-hmm. And also Serafina's tree is actually the same as mine. Yeah.
Sister trees.
Mm-hmm. And she's very close to mine.
Are they really close to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's why they're sister trees.
And so you're going to be able to watch them over the years and watch them grow?
Yes.
That's fun. So do you guys go out there and check on the trees, or is it just...
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
We do it every Friday.
What do you do?
Pretty much just check it.
We have a hugging tree that we like to hug, but I like to beat it up.
You fight the hugging tree?
How dare you.
Why?
And that's a lavender.
You and Lavender punch the hugging tree?
Yes.
How dare you.
Sometimes I punch
the hugging tree.
Do you kick the hugging tree?
Yes.
Wow. Do you at least hug it afterwards to
feel
a little better?
Tree.
You just leave after you fight it?
Yes.
Wow.
I am the hugging tree.
Only sometimes I hug.
Moving into November, we caught up with them right before Thanksgiving, and it's time for our elementary schoolers to share what they're thankful for. We've got Bennett, Serafina, and Elena, and they love their art classes at Spectrum, and recently they've been making Swedish doll horses, which are typically made of wood, but they've been creating theirs out of clay, which is really fun, but is also very difficult for students like Elena.
My horse looks like a destroyed horse.
What happened?
I ruined it. I'm not good at sculpturing.
But they've also had some fun science activities lately, too.
Yesterday we went in a big, like, globe thingy.
That would be a planetarium. They had an inflatable mobile planetarium come to their school where they got to sit and watch the cosmos unfold above them.
We saw a lot of planets, but except for Samus, because they are so far away that we cannot see them.
Yeah, like a black hole.
They told me about how the presentation took them around the galaxy, even outside the Milky Way, and eventually back home.
When we got to Earth, we all clapped because our planet.
Is it the best one, do you think?
Yeah.
Yes!
So we all clapped.
You think there aren't any better planets than Earth? You think this is the best one?
Yes.
A black hole, that's the best planet ever.
I don't even know if the sun is a planet, but that is the best.
As you could tell, they were in a goofy mood when I got there, which was just a few days before their holiday break, so I get it, me too. But before break, before Thanksgiving, our elementary schoolers did get a chance to talk about what they were thankful for, and they drew colorful pictures of turkeys and underneath wrote a few sentences about the things in their life they're thankful for.
I am thankful for my mom. I am thankful for my parents and my family. And my name, and this is my turkey, which is beautifuler than any other.
It was a pretty great turkey, and FYI, Elena's ferrets are Arlo and Hot Dog. It's December, it is right before winter break, and our students are feeling great. We've also got a few new correspondents joining the club this month. We've still got Elena, but she's joined by Sully and Lavender. And as we're recording this, our students are in that sweet spot, you know, just a few days before winter break, no tests, people having a good time, and importantly, they've got their big holiday show coming up, and I'm talking singing, dancing, and acting. Elena's excited about dancing, especially one particular dance move.
The coffee grind.
What's the coffee grind?
The coffee grind is where you bend down, and then you put one leg out, and then do the other leg, and then swish that leg, like,
Okay.
And then you jump up, I think.
All their friends and family will be at the show, which Lavender says is a little bit scary.
I like to sing a lot, but not in front of people.
Oh.
That's my rule. Yeah,
oh, but you're going to have to do that on Friday, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
Kind of scared, kind of nervous.
Another thing that makes this week before break fun is that they have a theme for every day. They've had an 80s day, and tomorrow is pajama day, which Sully has a special outfit for.
I'm not even wearing pajamas, I'm just wearing a comfy thing.
A game.
I don't know, should I wear a shark or a gamer?
What's a shark?
It's a shark onesie.
Yeah, 100%.
There's also snow on the ground outside now, which makes recess at Spectrum even more fun.
Last time we made a ginormous snowball.
Just to tell you, I had
it was like this.
I had to push it. Elena made the ball. She was pushing it. It got too heavy, and I had to just come to use my muscle to push it. Just made a big circle. We couldn't make the rest.
Yeah, it lasted a long time.
They'll be on winter break soon, and they're all thinking about what they want to ask Santa for this year. Elena and Lavender both have very specific ideas about what they want.
I wanted to get a clay kit, a new ferret, a dinosaur. I want a new doggy that's a girl, where I can have puppies.
What kind of doggy, though?
I'm a pit bull.
Okay.
A girl pit bull.
I have a pit bull.
A girl pit bull.
Oh,
and I want
God.
A clay kit with clay and the tools. And I want the Narnia series.
They both have clay on their holiday wish list, mostly because they've been able to work with clay in their art classes.
I made earth.
I made flowers with... It was mostly roses.
I'm sure their teachers will be very happy knowing both art supplies and books made it onto their Christmas list this year. We've already made it to January. It's already 2025, and Sully and Lavender are joined by Oliver this month. You may remember him from his grocery store Karen soliloquy from back in September. And their class has been working on passion projects where they create something about one of their favorite things. And Sully, who's clutching a stuffed animal while we talk, clearly loves animals. So he's making a book about some of his favorites.
First, I learned about dogs, but then I felt like I was done. So I started learning about one of my favorite animals, the pigs.
It's a good choice. They're cute, and he likes that they come in multiple colors, but also...
They are really smart. And I also looked it up, and they're smarter than dogs.
So maybe that's why Sully pivoted from dogs to pigs. Lavender's also making a book for her passion project.
Rocks. Ooh. Crystals and rocks. I've been making a page on Book Creator about each page is a different rock. I'm starting Ion Moonstone, and I'm going to go into Amethyst.
Ooh, Amethyst is a good one. What's your favorite?
Moonstone, because that's my birthstone.
Oh.
Amethyst is my brother's.
Oliver, on the other hand, his passion project is not a book. He's doing something a little bit different.
I made a board game.
And more specifically, a board game about cats. But what is the object of that game?
There's a really dangerous part in the sidewalk. It's just like a really dangerous, windy thing. Yeah. In the cast to pass through it.
So you play as a cat weaving through outdoor obstacles. Oliver says he made cards to draw and little color-coded square pieces that represent each obstacle you can land on.
Blue, aka water, minus one turn if you land on it. Orange, aka lava, minus two turns. There's dead bird.
Oh.
Minus four turns. Mm. Then, I really hope you don't land on this. Dog.
Yeah.
Minus five turns.
The game's still a work in progress. He may continue to add more elements. Maybe instead of just obstacles, there'll be things that help your cat.
I should add the zoomies.
We haven't settled on a name yet, but Lavender does have an idea.
No, I got a good name, the cat game.
That works. They've also got a class store where they can buy things from using credits they earn from their school activities.
Each week we earn $4, so I'm trying to save up to get a specific thing in the store.
And that's
it's $8.
Oliver's trying to buy a stuffed animal, a little green dinosaur, but he doesn't have quite enough money right now. However, Sully does have an idea.
Oliver, I have a plan.
Our three students pinky promise that the plan will stay between themselves.
Pinky promise? And you can't break pinky promise.
If all goes well, maybe they can even accomplish it that day.
Say it. What's it? So you have only $3, right?
Yeah.
I have $5.
This is a controversial idea. Can Sully give his classroom dollars to Oliver? Is this even legal? Lavender's not sure, but she pinky promised, and the wheels are now set in motion. It's February, and this month we were joined by just two of our students, Bennett and Sully, to lament the loss of one of their favorite classes. They were a bit sad this month because their drama teacher is leaving. It's their favorite class, and they're not sure how much more acting they're going to be able to do this year. Here's Bennett and then Sully with how they're feeling.
Sad and depressed.
Yes, I will miss him.
They've gotten to do a lot of fun scenes this year, even this past week.
We were knights and we were selling stuff and we were getting gold and paying gold for materials.
But they do have a favorite performance they've given this year.
What has been the best activity that you did in drama? Or
the ferret play.
What's the ferret play?
It's weird.
Ferrets.
Yeah, Bennett, Serafina, and Lavender were ferrets, and I was a bird named Barbara.
The ferret play is an original production from our Spectrum kids.
They wanted an adventure. They went to the forest with Barbara Bird, and Barbara Bird showed them her friend.
Their class might be changing, but I'm told they still will get a chance to put on their show this spring, so they do have that to keep working on. Also, last month on the show, Sully and Oliver hatched a plan. Their class has a system where they can earn tokens for things like their classroom work, and they can cash those in to buy things like stuffed animals. And last month, Sully had the idea to lend Oliver some of his tokens so he could buy a dinosaur stuffy named Pickle. It was a risky plan. They didn't know if the teacher would approve of it, but let's ask Sully how it went.
It went good. Oliver got his Pickle.
Congrats to Sully and Oliver for executing the plan, and unfortunately, they did have to pull Sully and Bennett out of their drama class to talk with me. They were itching to get back, so we cut our conversation short so they could get back to their favorite class. We're on to March, and let me tell you, our correspondents were in rare form this month. We had Sully, Lavender, and Oliver with us. The kids were in an interesting mood this month. They were definitely feeling silly, but also pretty deeply irritated with each other. It was just a few days before their spring break, and boy, they really needed a break from each other after being in the same small class all day, every day, for months.
I'm so happy for summer break. Spring break, because I can get a break for some people.
I'm so needing it because I've actually been starting to get annoyed by a lot of things.
Like what?
Everybody going crazy, and then everybody yelling.
So as you can imagine, they're just looking for some peace and quiet and relaxation on their spring break. Here's what Lavender is planning.
This is my whole entire thing. Saturday, I'm going to just hang out with my friends, kind of play some Roblox. Sunday, I'm just going to be a chill day. Monday, I'm going to hike with my father and my brother.
Oliver also has a similar schedule planned out.
Monday, I'm going to chillax on the couch and watch some Azumanga. Then I'm going to dance to some music downstairs, maybe.
And I was curious if they thought that after that much-needed break, did they think they'll be a little bit nicer to each other, a little bit less annoyed?
No.
We're going to go back
and do it. We're definitely going to go back and do it.
Well, maybe not. Sully, on the other hand, has a different plan for his break.
Sully, why not you tell Peter how you're going to make Bandito famous?
Bandito, of course, is Sully's dog, and he's going to try to make Bandito a social media sensation.
Maybe he could make him a famous meme like Doge was? And I introduced to you Leprechaun Bandito.
For St. Patrick's Day, Sully had photoshopped a lovely picture of Bandito wearing a little leprechaun hat. Looked great, tremendous work all around. And if that doesn't work, Sully has a different plan for internet stardom, maybe an ASMR channel.
My guys, brother can't
guys,
play.
Be quiet for a second. Be quiet for a second.
Who knows? Maybe Bandito ASMR will start showing up on your TikTok For You page soon. It's April. We've only got two more conversations with our student correspondents to go, and today we're talking with Sully, Lavender, and Oliver. And you know, with elementary school kids, you really never know what you're gonna get, and this month they were a little bit all over the place, a little bit distracted, but that's okay. They've got a lot on their minds, including that two of them, Sully and Lavender, are gonna be leaving Spectrum next year to go to a public school.
Well, I've been here for like 6 years.
Me too. I've been like, we started together.
So I don't leave. You're the heart and soul of this entire school.
They're very nervous. It'll be a big change, but they're also excited.
I'm kind of happy.
Yeah?
I kind of didn't want to be in the school next year.
Lavender says she's used to this school after 6 years, but she's also ready for a new challenge. And Sully is still feeling a little uneasy about it.
I feel terrified.
What's the biggest question you have about what it's going to be like?
Am I going to be in the same class as my sister?
Oh, so your sister goes there now?
Yeah. Yeah, she has been going there for a while.
And you guys are the same age, or?
We're a month apart.
But again, he does have concerns, and Oliver has some concerns for him.
There's going to be more people, like 20 people per class.
Silly. I hope you don't have strict teachers.
The class size could be a big difference among many compared to their small, tight-knit ecosystem here at Spectrum, but even if they have to leave some of their friends behind, it's 2025. There are more ways than ever to stay in touch both online and in person.
I might have played it with Oliver and Bennett. I don't know.
Oliver's definitely going to see my dog. We're cleaning up the house. Bennett. So you can see Bandit.
All right, we have made it all the way to the end. It is time for our final chat with our elementary school student correspondents from Spectrum. And for this final edition, we are joined by Elena and Serafina. Again, it's the end of the school year for Elena and Serafina too, and Serafina is not happy about it.
I don't want to leave school.
Of course, this is where her friends are, but she and Elena are making plans for summer vacation sleepovers too.
And we're going to a water park for a play date.
That'll be very fun, but it's a little bittersweet because Elena might not be coming back to Spectrum next year.
I might move to Indiana, so I might stay there for 2 years. Or my mom might have found a house so we can stay here and I can still come to this school next year. So I want to be here.
Yeah.
All of my little friends are here.
It's all a little bit up in the air right now, but at this point, she's still thinking about all the fun she had this school year, from holidays.
When we were doing our trunk or treat, I have a big memory of that.
To art activities.
When we were playing this one game where we would put paper on each other's backs, and then our teacher would tell us something to draw, and then we would try and draw it, and then the other person in front would try and figure it out, and they would try and write it on the whiteboard.
Those were our elementary school correspondents, and I cannot thank them enough for voluntarily taking time away from their art or music classes to talk with me about what frustrated and excited them about school. And if you know any elementary age kids, you know they are hilarious and often very insightful. And it's not often we get to hear firsthand perspectives from students this young, so I'm really glad that we could make it happen. All right, now I did say that we had two groups of student correspondents, and this spring, a new crew joined the show. From February through May, we met with students from the Sammannach, Sandwich, and Leland FFA organization. So let's get started and let's get to know the group. Now, FFA, some of you may know as Future Farmers of America, although it's not called that anymore, just FFA. And part of the reason why is that, understandably, it became an assumption that everyone in FFA wanted to become a traditional family farmer, but that's not true. There are scores of careers from ag technology, agronomy, sales, and so much more that students can pursue. And for most of our students, like our chapter's president, Layla, it took a teacher pushing them out of their comfort zone to do an FFA competition that really got them hooked on the program. She fell in love with food science, and particularly the meat science competition.
They set out cuts of meat from all of those different animals, and we have to identify where they come from on the wholesale cut, and then also how they're sold, like in a grocery store. And then there's also a judging section where we judge the yield of the animal. So that's looking at the meat to fat ratio on a cut of meat or the carcass, and deciding how much actual edible meat we're gonna get from it in comparison to the fat content.
Not many students may be interested in row crop farming, but are you interested in the environment, food, technology, animals? FFA has a lot of options, and none of our Samanak students come from a farming background. So sometimes they're also surprised about the passions they discover along the way.
Yeah, if you told freshman year me that I was going to be doing the meat evaluation CDE, I probably would have looked at you like you were crazy.
Some of their students compete in veterinary science contests. Destiny's favorite competition is dairy foods.
You identify different cheeses, milk to define like if it has like an acid taste or a bitter taste. And then you have to say like, oh, this one's non-fat milk or just something kind of like that. So that's been my favorite CDE and that stuck with me.
And FFA is a much bigger organization than you might think. Last year, FFA crossed 1 million student members nationwide. And the week I'm in Samanak is actually the perfect week to start our segment because it's National FFA Week. They have tons of different contests and events throughout the week.
During the school days, we have different dress-up days, which is one of my favorite parts. I love dressing up. It's so much fun. Yeah. So today we have Western Day, tomorrow's USA Day, we have a dress up like an ag teacher day.
There's a lot going on after school too with some of the other local chapters. That day, Grant says they're competing against each other with presentations detailing their supervised agriculture experiences.
Some people it's working on a farm, some people it's working at a fast food place, some people it's working at a wool place in town and they just help with that. And so you log all your hours and you say what you did and then you get to compete them.
And tonight for their chapter meeting, they're line dancing.
Usually we get a lot of members to come to that and it's a super big event and we have Cowboy Doug come in and he teaches us.
Cowboy Doug?
Cowboy Doug. So he usually teaches us the same three every year, and then we get to pick one at the end that we want to learn. So last year, we learned the real Cotton Eye Joe dance.
Yeah, that was interesting.
As opposed to the fake one that's going on?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, Cowboy Doug and the real Cotton Eye Joe. And the students I'm talking with are chapter officers, which means they have FFA work and activities pretty much every day.
We are super, super busy and definitely doing something just about every day, but it doesn't have to be that way for all of the members.
We're super busy all the time. On Tuesdays, we have 2 practices for contests. So we're usually at the school around until 6 or 7 o'clock at night, just staying here, and we end up eating dinner with each other.
It's a great way to bond, and they say they've made some of their closest friends through FFA. And for their chapter, it's not just an everyday thing, it's a year-round thing.
We grow pumpkins and sell them. Mm-hmm. So around the school, we have some plots that we use to plant pumpkins. So once it starts to get warmer out, we'll start to plan that. And then in the beginning of June, we'll actually get to plant. And then as a chapter, we take care of the plot, we weed it, we pick the pumpkins, and everybody comes together to make it work.
They have students who come in over the summer to help weed the plot. They pick pumpkins during ag class in the fall. It's a lot, but it's a passion. Okay, we are on to March, our second month with our FFA students. And as I mentioned, students from 3 different schools come together for this FFA group. And even though we're at Samanak High School, Lainey goes to Leland.
We have kids coming over from Leland and Sandwich all day. So it's just a constant busing back and forth.
She takes multiple classes at Samanak, including her agriculture classes. And a few weeks ago, she competed in what's called a proficiency event. This is where students showcase their specialized ag skills that they've developed over the course of years. And Lainey's is about goat production because she raises and shows goats.
I've been working on mine since 8th grade, and I'm a junior now, so that's about 4 years of it. So it's been a big growing opportunity, starting from just caring for my animals to now having my own and raising them and showing them.
She just won their section. Now she's moving on to the district competition with a chance to advance all the way to state. And state is coming up for a lot of these events, and it is a massive deal down at the University of Illinois. We're talking about FFA students from all across the state. And Lainey says it can be a bit overwhelming your first time.
I was so nervous. I don't know if I talked to anyone. I was just, there were so many people and everyone's so outgoing. But throughout the years, you definitely learn to step out of your comfort zone and get to talk and interact with other people. So I think I know so many people from all over the state, and you're going to keep these connections since you have the same interest in ag.
Destiny has also been to state multiple times at this point, and she says you feel a fun balance of wanting to go out and make friends with the other students there, but also wanting to stay very serious since you're competing against them and want to win.
So, like, after the competition, like, when you're done with certain sections, it's nice, like, getting to then talk to someone and be like, oh, like, how do you think you did? Or, like, oh,
but,
like
the other people that you're competing against.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay.
Yeah, because you're, like, dead silent the whole time.
The local competitions are also a lot of fun. Agriculture is a tight-knit community, so they get to know the kids from the other schools in the area, and Destiny says there are definitely some friendly rivalries there.
You kind of just know people, like, oh, like, hey, like, how are you doing? So it's kind of, like, great to, like, catch up with each other, but it's also, like, hey, like, good luck, but, like, you know, like...
Yeah, I hope you finish that.
Yeah.
Alex has a little bit less FFA experience. He hasn't been to a ton of events and is kind of nervous about these big ones coming up. This spring, he's competing in livestock judging. Now, I was curious, how do you practice for that? Do you always need to go somewhere with live animals?
We go into a classroom and there's like this website where it's like live animals from actual shows. And you have to go in there and it's like numbered 1 through 4 and you have to rank them on which one you think is the best.
They're looking at the different features of the animals, different market and breeding, multiple species, and they have to figure out what questions they're going to ask and prepare for the exam you have to take in the competition on what you notice about a certain class of animals' features. Alex is nervous, but he's also very clearly getting better.
I didn't do too good last year, but I improved a lot this year, so I wasn't expecting to like place super high, but I got a lot higher than I thought I was going to.
And there are students in their program, even very young students, who are really excelling. Lainey's cousin is also a Leland student in the group, and she's still in middle school and just won both her section and her district's Star Discovery Award. It's for middle schoolers who have been most active and shown the most leadership, and now she'll compete to win the whole state.
And it's a really big deal, top of top, and if she wins that, she'll get to go on stage at state convention this summer and get awarded in front of around 6,000 people.
Only 2 more meetings with our FFA correspondents, and here in April, we got to learn about some of the trophies they've taken home.
And then finally, we have all the baby chicks, which are a couple days old.
That's Grant. His animal science class is helping raise these baby chicks. He's a senior in his final year, his really final few weeks of FFA.
I'm pretty ready to be graduated. It's going to be a lot harder to hang up my FFA jacket than it is to walk across the stage and get my diploma.
Earlier this year, he had a realization. Between the animal science classes, the FFA competitions and conferences, he figured out what he thinks he wants to do with his life.
I'm looking at agriculture education, so being a high school ag teacher and FFA advisor, I just have fallen in love with this organization and found my passion in agriculture.
And even though he's graduating, he's still going to be able to stay involved with this FFA program here in Samanac.
Actually, one of our big exciting things that we have is our chapter team won state food science. So we will get to go compete at Nationals in October at National Convention in Indianapolis. So we get to continue our FFA journey a little bit, and we get to go over the summer and into the next school year a little bit to keep on studying for the contest.
For the food science competition, they have to develop a product. And I mean, they really have to develop every single detail. I'm talking hazard analysis and critical control points, which is a step-by-step food safety system to make sure safe food is getting to customers. They make a label, do the math and the marketing, and even a sensory evaluation of aromas.
So this year, the product was meatballs for elderly people.
Now, Sienna is also a senior in the program, and she just finished 2nd place in their ag mechanics competition for welding.
So we do what's called a combo joint, so it has an edge, a corner, and a butt joint, as well as a T joint, and it's all together in one kind of just like mess of metal.
And after graduation, she's also planning to pursue a career in agriculture. She wants to become an agricultural engineer.
I can either do like farming equipment, like the machinery behind it. I could also do like the technology in it. I could do animals. It's really just a huge like open career. What I'm really looking into right now is like farm surveying, especially because obviously we live out here and all the corn and beans. So I just really want to expand on that and kind of make that my job.
Grant and Sienna are both feeling ready to get their diplomas. They're also so busy that it hasn't quite hit them that their FFA career is winding down to a close, but they're already thinking about how much the program and their teachers have meant to them. And next time we catch up with them, they'll be about to walk across the stage for graduation, and we'll talk about the impact of their FFA experience over 4 years. And now it is time for our last conversation with our FFA correspondents, where we pick up on some familiar themes and where even more students are inspired to keep FFA in their lives way beyond graduation. And a few of the students, like chapter president Layla, are seniors, and they just had their end of the year banquet where she hung up her FFA jacket, and it was pretty emotional.
There were definitely tears shared between me and all the other seniors.
I was gonna say, not just you, tears.
It was
all
not just me, it was all around. My mom cried. We had a couple alumni that were there, recent alumni, so they cried.
She says FFA helped her come out of her shell and grow. In fact, the experience has been so important and her teachers so special that it made her rethink what she wants to do with her life.
As I've gone through my senior year, I've kind of been on the fence on what I want to do with my future, but getting towards the end and realizing how much FFA actually means to me as I've been coming to terms with being done with it, I've kind of realized I don't want to be done with it.
Yeah, she said, you know what? I'm not leaving. She wants to not only pursue a career in ag, but she wants to follow in her teacher's footsteps and be a high school ag teacher and FFA advisor. And of course, seniors are not the only ones thinking about their future. There are also juniors who are going into their final year, like Cole.
Well, ever since I was younger, I've always wanted to, my family farms north of town here, and I've always wanted help on that, on the farm, ever since I was young.
He wants to be a firefighter and paramedic, but also have that ag degree on the side so he can keep helping his family and neighbors on the farm. And right now, he's still working on that farm every day.
It either ranges from like just 20 minutes a day just doing chores, or sometimes it ranges from like 12 hours in the field driving a tractor all day.
He's also thinking about his goals for next year. He's doing an SAE, or supervised agriculture experience, involving pumpkin and sweet corn farming, and he wants to win the district and get to the state competition. State contests are a really big deal, and when I asked Layla about her favorite FFA memories, it's one of the places her mind immediately went to. For the past several years, their food science team has finished in second place in the state by just a few points. And this year, boy oh boy, after leaving the competition, she thought they did even worse.
We got out of it and we were like, oh no, we did so bad. We definitely messed that up.
Oh, you thought that you had done worse than before?
Yeah, we thought we did bad, but we were wrong. We did really good.
Yeah, this year they finally broke through and won the whole thing, and she took home the individual first place prize.
It was such an amazing feeling and something that I've been striving towards and really studying for and training for. It sounds really nerdy, first place in food science, to somebody else that probably sounds crazy, but to me it meant a lot and it was just such a good feeling. And that van ride home was, I don't know, it didn't even feel real.
After years of ag and FFA, those are the moments that stand out, and the teachers who helped her get there. They made such an impact on her life that she wants to do that for other students. And so while Layla's high school ag career is ending as a student, her high school ag career as a teacher is really just getting started. Those were our student correspondents for this spring, the students in Samanok, Leland, and Sandwich's FFA organization. Thank you again to all the students who have shared their passion with us. I'll tell you what, I grew up in Sandwich, and even though I was surrounded by corn and soybean fields, I never really learned much about agriculture, so my conversations with these students have been a much-needed education for me, and really just a joy to see their enthusiasm for the land, the animals, the technology, and the business of agriculture. Those were our student correspondents for the 2024-25 school year. Thank you again to our elementary schoolers and to our FFA students. Once again, I would definitely urge you to go back and check out our episode with our theater students from last fall as well. And we will have brand new student correspondents for the next school year starting in September. And if you want to listen to these segments in real time, month to month, you can only hear it on our Teachers Lounge radio show, which airs on WNIJ on the last Friday of every month at noon and the following Saturday morning at 6 a.m. That is the exclusive home of our student and classroom correspondent segments all school year long until it gets collected here in June. So if you want to hear the next season of student correspondent soon, keep up with the radio show in the fall. Otherwise, you'll have to wait another year. Thanks so much for listening to Teachers Lounge. On our next episode, we will return to our typical format. As always, feel free to nominate a teacher in your life to be on the show. It's how we get all of our great guests. Send them our way to teacherslounge@niu.edu. Wherever you're hearing the podcast, please subscribe. Please leave us a rating. Share it with a friend. Share it with a teacher in your life. Share it with a student in your life. It helps us get even more perspectives on the show. A big thank you to the Northern Illinois band Kind Ofs for the music that you hear each and every episode of this show. And I've been your host, Peter Medlin, and we'll be back with more Teachers Lounge very soon. See ya.